Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word here, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive. Father, so that we can receive the truth of this your word, Father, that is given to us by Him, by thy mighty Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask you now, watch over us and be with us throughout this study. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Last evening, we was in chapter 8, and we had started into chapter 9. And we were learning some about Christ, the high priest, and the new covenant, and the difference of the two covenants, the old and the new. And today, we're going to continue on. We're still in chapter 9. And we're still going to be dealing partly with the covenants and things. We're going to be picking up with chapter 14. We don't have many chapters to go, actually. In fact, we'll be picking up chapter 15. And there's only 28 verses in this chapter 9. And then we're going to be dealing with one of the hardest books in the Bible to teach, because man really don't want it. And it is a chapter that is nothing but truth and straightforward. Now, letting us know things really, as I said, most don't want, they don't want to hear it. We're going to be starting here with 15. And it says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now we know that he's talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ and about him being the sacrifice and all for you and I, and setting up of the church age. That is why we have the New Testament today. Now, you see, the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, the Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sin. They merely made provisional atonement, a temporary covering for sin. Now, Christ's sacrifices expiated all these past sins that had received such atonement. The Old Testament sacrifices might be compared to the writing of a check. The paper on which it is written is practically worthless. Yet it is used and accepted in place of money, since it is backed by what has been deposited in the bank. Christ's death was deposited from the foundation of the world as that which backed the Old Testament sacrifices. With Christ's death on the cross, the deposit was released and all the past checks were honored and paid. That was the fulfilling of the law and the establishing of the New Testament by his blood. Now 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. Well, we know that because we've been taught that for a long time about that part of it. 17, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester lives. You know, the word testament refers here to a will in accordance with the Greek usage of the New Testament era. Even though the Greek word is commonly used in Hebrew and throughout the New Testament for a covenant, a will requires the death of its maker before it can be set in force. And Christ's sinless life could not establish the New Testament. It took his death involving his shed blood was necessary to establish the New Testament. Because you see, it is that blood, that shed blood, and all that covers our past sins and takes care of us so that we can walk according to the word of Almighty God, doing the things that he has for you and I to do and to accomplish. Now, 18. Upon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Well, we know the first one wasn't. That was the law of Moses, you know. And it took the blood of animals, mainly bulls and goats, had to be sacrificed. Now, 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. 20. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Now, we see here where he used those, Moses did, the calves, the goats, and he sprinkled all the books and the people with their blood. 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Everything was sprinkled with blood. 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. You know, and it was on that basis of the preceding verses, the author concluded two things. One, the law seems to require that almost everything be purged with blood. And two, there is no remission, forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And we know there wasn't, even with the law. But that had to be every time. Over and over and over. Which was meaning the death of a lot of animals. And different types of sin required different animals to be sacrificed. Now, 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And this verse actually identifies the true holy place as heaven itself. And this would dispute the notion that heaven contains a tabernacle corresponding in appearance to that which Moses was commanded to build. Heaven itself is the fulfillment of that pattern. Now, 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. No, because he'd have to come back and re-die once every year. No. You see, his brings a finality to things. Now, 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, we know the relation of verse 27 to its content is often dismissed in order to stress the certainty of man's future judgment. It is that man dies once. However, exceptions do exist. Enoch and Elijah of the Old Testament, the saints who are alive at Christ's return, who will never die, Lazarus and others who were raised from the dead and later died a second time, but no exceptions concerning God's judgment can be cited. There is no reincarnation. Every person gets one chance to prepare. Yet the full significance of verse 27 cannot be seen apart from verse 28, as it is appointed unto men once to die, so was once opened. The author is clearly presenting a comparison as it is with man, so that it was with Christ, as men can die only once. So the man Christ could only die once as a sacrifice. His relation to humanity would be marred if he had to die more than once. Further, a second comparison seems evident. Beyond, there exists another reality. For man, it is the reality of appearing for judgment. For Christ, it is the certainty of appearing with deliverance from condemnation for them that look for him. Now, but are you really looking for him? And have you done your best to get ready to meet him and to be with him? Or are you going the ways of this world out here and looking for your treasures and things that comes from this world, that when you step out of this life, you can't take with you? And you're trading them for a place to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout eternity and the love of Almighty God as yours. But you see, that's what's going on today. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 9. We're getting ready to go into 10. And just how far into 10 we'll get, I have no idea. And you'll understand why once we get in. But the thing about it is, it's 39 verses long, and it is full of things that we are told to do and not to do, that man does not want to hear nor accept. All right. So we're going to begin here with verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now you see, here's this word perfect being mentioned again here in this very first verse. And he is giving us a contrast between the Mosaic law and our new covenant. You see, the Mosaic law could not make you perfect. Let me tell you something. Under the New Testament, you better become that. And when we get done with this chapter, you're going to know why and how. All right, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. Think about that. He's telling you there that once your sins was purged and forgiven, you should have had no more consciousness of sin. Well, the Mosaic law couldn't do that. But you see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and death, as you're going to find out. Now, it's telling us there that once our sins are forgiven us and all, we should not have any more consciousness of sin. In other words, stop your sin and start making that journey. For making heaven your home. 3. But those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. But we know that because as we've been studying coming through here, coming through Hebrews, we've seen over and over and over about them being made every year and having to go to the high priest, and he go into the Holy of the Holies and take the blood and all with him and all, and pray for himself and his sins and then for the sins of the people. Sprinkle everything with the blood of the bulls and goats that he had taken in with him. But it was done once a year, every year. Now, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's telling us right there that they couldn't do it. Now, it covered the sins for that year because that's the way it was set up. But it couldn't take away their sins. It couldn't stop them from sinning. So they'd go back and just do the same old sin over and over and over. Now, 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. He's letting them know there in verse 5 that there's a change coming. 9:6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, thou hast had no pleasure, because they was not taken away that sin. They was covering them for that past year, but then they couldn't, wasn't taking away the sins from the people. Now, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Now, that is the Lord speaking there. He's come to do the will of the Father. 8. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldst not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. No. We know he did, just above, he said that. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now, why take one away to establish another? There had to be a reason. You see, God does everything for a purpose. Now, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Not year by year by year. 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and often offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. These priests of the law that was doing this, they couldn't take away those sins. The sin for that past year was covered, but it wasn't taking sin away from that person. He's going to commit them same old things over and over and over. 12. But this man, Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He went back to heaven, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. 13. From henceforth, expecting, shall his enemies be made his footstool. His enemies one day will pay the price. And we all know where they're going to wind up. And if you don't know right now, you'll know here by the time we get out of this chapter. Now, 14. For by one offering, listen to this, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, you claim to be a child of God. And if you are a child of God, then you've been sanctified. And if you've been sanctified, you were made perfect. And you don't have sin in your life anymore. If you've got sin, you're committing sin. Then you ain't quite ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's word, not mine. You can be following me. You got your Bible with you, like I've asked you to do. 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before. 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their mind will I write them. 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, you see, he's talking straight and plain here. But now I want you to listen to this next. Because if you think you can play church, you're going to find out you can't. You either are a child of God or you're not. And you can go by this chapter and you'll find out whether you are or not. 18. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Think about that for just a minute. 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. 20. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, and he is our high priest. 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Everything that we need to know in order to be that living child of God is right here in this chapter. Now, the other words of God and the other letters, epistles, and things that are written, we need, yes, because it tells us how to walk after we receive all of this. And once we get this straightened out in our lives, then we are to walk by his word, because that tells us what he is wanting us to do. Now, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, this word really gets to your heart. And like I said, most out there today does not want to hear this word. And we're coming up on some more reasons why. 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day approaching. He's telling you and I there not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, going to church, being in study. But we are told to assemble together. And he tells us even to do it more as we see the day approaching. And it shouldn't be hard for mankind to see that we, and to understand that we are living in the last days of time. We don't know when the Lord will return for the church or nothing. No. We can't set no weeks, months, years, or nothing, but we know that it's a lot closer than it was, because we are seeing things we were told to watch for that has already taken place, and other things we were told to watch for is now in the works. Now, but listen to this next verse. You think you can continue in sin? 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Once you learn something is sin that you're doing, and you ask God to forgive it, you know he will, as you said he would, then you don't do that one anymore, because there is no more sacrifice for that sin. There's no more forgiveness for it again. And that's his word, not mine. But I want you to think about that. 27, he goes on to tell us here what happens. The day, he tells us 26, no more sacrifice for sins. 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. You cannot get it any plainer than that, can you? 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. 29. Of how much sore or more punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Think about that. Now, you see, and if you have a study Bible, you'll probably find in your footnotes a whole lot more wrote in that footnote than what I gave you. but the Holy Spirit has given you exactly what you needed to know. Now, I'm going to read this next verse, and we're going to stop here for this morning. No, we're going to go ahead and finish up. I think we've still got enough time for it. I hope so. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. One day, we'll all stand before him. But what will you hear when you stand? Will you hear, good and well done, thy faithful servant, enter into thy rest? Or will you hear, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, because I never knew you? Now, 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Uh-oh. To the hands of the living God. But you know the thing about it is, that can also be one of the safest places and the most joyful you'll ever be. It depends on how. 32. The call to remembrance the former days, which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. 33. Partly while ye were made a grazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. We'll all go through those things in our life, because you see, that child of God is the one that Satan is really after, because the others he already has, and he's trying to get all away from God he can get. So you better stand and stand firm. Now, 34. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. And we all should know and understand how much better things will be for you and I in heaven than they would be if we end up lost and end up in hell for Satan and his angels. Now, and even while we're here on this earth, when we are building our treasures for heaven, even though we face trials and tribulations, things come against us, we can go through them with joy because we know we are not alone. Once you become that born-again child of the living God, you are never alone. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father all living in you. 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now, we know what that promise was, because we've been through all of that already here in 10. Telling us about what to do, what not to do, and how things are. 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, the thing about that is, in our way of looking at time and things, we might be thinking, well, you know, he's taking his time, he's tarrying. No, because you see, he don't go by mine your time. 1,000 years is a day to him. It ain't to us. You see. Now, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He's letting you and I know that if we draw back from him, he's not going to be there in us. He said his soul shall have no pleasure in us. Now, think about it. You want to get out here and think about sinning? And you've been told what will happen if you do. But you see, you got all these preachers out here telling you can't live without sin in your life. Everyone sins. No, there's not one perfect. What has the word just told you and I? Just the opposite. That's why we are told to let no man deceive us. Because it's being done all around us and in most of the places where man meets. And it is a shame. That's why we need to be praying for our churches. 38 told us he'd have no pleasure in him. In the last verse, chapter 10. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, we don't draw back. Because we know that our soul is what will go on. That soul, that spirit, is what is going to go on into eternity. And how will that be for you? The way you're living. And the time spending with God and spending in his word and spending with others of his. Do you really believe he is satisfied with it? And you remember I told you when we started through chapter 10 how much controversy was there? And I believe now you understand telling you that. Because most that you will talk to will be denying most of that chapter, chapter 10. And it tells you and I exactly what we need in order to make heaven a home. Spend some time. Go back and look through it. And make sure you are standing right with that word. With God. in making heaven. All right. As I said, we're going to be stopping now. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for those that takes part of this ministry, Heavenly Father, and that will study with us and study thy word, Father, that love you, love your word, and we love the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, you know that we are to love each other and be concerned one for the other and be there for each other. Now help us, Father, give us the strength, the help to carry on with this thy word, Father, in all things and in all ways. Now, Father, for Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. But more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, that's filled with so much evil that has come from our government offices and the high places, Father, we ask that those that have brought this evil upon this land be replaced, Father, with ones that belongs to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, that loves the church and loves your people, loves this country, and will work with us, Father, to put this land back, and our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, for those that are of this ministry, I'm lifting them up now. Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, Amy's husband, Amy's son, Jacob. Now, Father, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Sue Branson, Debbie, and Father, my wife, myself, and each of our families. We all have family members, Father, that is walking in darkness. They're not yours. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work with them and as he works with us, that, Father, they can be made to see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will come out of that darkness and come to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can make heaven their home and none be lost. Now, Father, to those that has any sickness, any disease, we pray, Father, for them to lay claim to the healing power that has been given to them by the stripes that Jesus bore. Father, your word and your promise tells us that by his stripes we are healed. No mites, no maybes, but that we are. Father, most of the time it's not instant, but as long as we hold on to it, lay claim to it, hold on to it, you'll see it come about. Now, Father, be with us through this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Walk with God and he'll walk with you. I pray I'll see you at 6 this evening. Bye-bye now.